They're not even available. You can only get them through a club. And they're uncirculated and we notified every normal dealer in Massachusetts. And no such as well.
We sent the value paintings to the store and somebody has back there.
Sooner or later, that stuff changes.
You mentioned proper lighting.
Yeah.
Kind of tricks.
Just to light up the yard a little bit. Usually you stay away from here.
Do you need to leave your outside lights on all night?
No. Just by here. Most of the little brats are home in bed by 9 o'clock. Along with your pumpkin. Yes, the mailbox matches come over here. Do you ever try to catch one?
Yeah.
That's all it was.
Unbelievable.
At least one would take me up.
You did it, so it's a long way, guys. Yeah, no mailbox.
Getting away from breaks a little bit. I don't know how many of you have ever gone through the prank or annoying phone call, but it happens pretty frequently. And the great majority of them on a prank or annoying call is done by a kid. It's a random thing, probably doesn't know who you are. He'll do it once or twice and forget it. It's most of the time, it's just a joke thing. When it gets to the problem where it's a harassment or it's a lewd or embarrassing type call, where foul language is used, and I'm not saying once or twice, I'm saying once or twice a week for a period of 2 or 3 weeks, then it becomes a criminal. And what we do is we ask people if they want to change their number. We have steps. And a number change will usually stop it. But not all the time, because 95% of the calls that people get in a lewd or obscene manner, 95% of those people know who's calling. It's either somebody that they work with, or an extra neighbor, or a friend of the family, or a relative. I'm not kidding, 95%. The last two real bad cases we know, one was an extra neighbor, and the other case was the two people worked together in the same day.
And how did you track that down?
With a telephone trap.
Do you have to request that through the phone company?
Yes. We have there's a special unit in the telephone company that does nothing but that. Mm. And we call this, we always call this lady, nice person. The calls, they'll send out a form to the person whose name the phone is in. And they'll have them sign this form saying that they can put the trap on.
What is
But it doesn't bug the conversation. What it does is it bugs the line.
Does it hold it open or something?
Holds it open. So if you get a call, what you've got to do is, when you know it's an obscene call, and the tap is on, or the trace, you've got to dial 1, and then go to another phone. The dialing of the 1 activates the trap. And then you've got to go to another phone and call the phone company, the repair office, and say, I've got a trap on my phone. I just activated it. Can you trace it? There's only one drawback. You lose your phone. You lose the service of your phone while the trap is on, because they're trying to trace it. Okay? So you're without a phone. It may be overnight if you get the call after business hours. If you get the call after 5 o'clock, forget it. Your phone's out for the whole night. And maybe a couple hours into the next morning. When it gets bad enough, it's worth it.
Sure. And then if you have
an
emergency, you
get
your phone.
Right.
Yeah, but you run it somewhere to be able to use it.
You have a cell
phone. Our neighbors did it, and they got it, and the kid was long distance over the weekend.
Yeah.
And the people kept calling, because you can hear them calling, and saying, hey, I have this phone. Mm-hmm.
It has other drawbacks, too. If you're getting the call from outside of our dialing system, they can't work the trace because the systems aren't the same. Also, they could be using a payphone. Now, it'll trace back to a payphone, no problem. The only thing the telephone company will not do is they will not give the police the first trace. It's a company policy. We know why they do it. It's to protect themselves. They will only give us two traces. So you're getting a call, you're getting calls for months, and you put the trace on, and you get one successful trace, they will not give it to you.
So you'd have to have it done more than once.
You have to have two successful traces. And then, it has to be court action.
In other words, you couldn't then change your mind and say, I don't want to prosecute.
You know why? Because it's your next time. Yeah. Or your husband's best friend.
Yeah. But it's out of your hands at that point.
It works well, though. People stop getting calls. Mm-hmm. There's other ways of doing it. A squeeze toy into the telephone. When you get kids prank calls, or seen annoying calls, take a baby squeeze toy and squeeze it for all it's worth right into the phone. And that'll blow the radio drums right out. Or a whistle.
A whistle
does the same thing.
Kids are familiar with the fact that there's a bug on the phone. My husband's a high school teacher, and sometimes most high school teachers one time or another start getting these calls.
Yeah, they all do.
We found the easiest thing. It must become 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock, you know, and they've been out. And all I'd say is, keep talking, this phone is bugged. As soon as you say bugged, they'd hang up, and we didn't get those kids calling again. It stopped. Word got around.
Another thing is to just give the dial a little twist,
them.
You know, and say, hit the button.
Yeah.
Is it trace on? Say that.
Yeah.
Trace
that scares them. That's
they don't. They don't. Gee, oh, my God. Trace. They're going to get me. We do get them, too. Auto thefts. Do we have a cast hole? Little statistic, 80% of all the auto thefts in Massachusetts are for the, what they call the jury, right? Okay. There's professional thefts, there's insurance fraud thefts, there's parts fraud theft. Last year in 77, we had 85 thefts, 75 recoveries.
In one piece?
Yeah.
As opposed to one piece?
Yeah. One half were forged.
One half of what?
One half of all the cars stolen in this town forged.
What Fords? Oh. Is that John
Ford Motor Company. No, they're easy to ship. They're ice cream. You pay $12,000 for a car and they put, like I said, 25-cent locking system. Mm-hmm. Crazy. So the big thing is to remove keys and lock the doors. Electric.
Don't let a good boy go bad.
Sure.
That.
Electric. Electric or a gas kill switch. Now they're pretty cheap. They're relatively cheap, and if you've ever had your car stolen, most of the time, the vandalism that's done to your car is $100 deductible or $200 deductible, whatever. You wind up paying the first $100 or $200 damage. So for what you're going to pay for an electrical or a gas kill switch, would pay for damages done to your car if it's ever stolen one time. Alarm systems cost money. They will.
Sometimes we don't want to.
Yeah. For some reason, Mass Hot Car is working. I think it's because some people don't want to drive a stolen car that says Mass Hot Car in the back. Or maybe they figure that it's already a hot car and they don't want it. The big place for the thefts occur in shopping plazas. Shopping plazas, sports events, apartment complexes, and restaurants and nightclubs. Daddy lost the car the other night. Daddy. That's because he left the keys in there.
Sure, he didn't want it stolen?
No, they just drove up. They couldn't get the keys out of the ignition, so they left it on Route 9, right out in front of the place. And some kid that was summoned by it. The keys were.
Oh, God.
Took off. Yeah. Hadn't found it yet. Crazy. Professional auto thefts. My mother had her car stolen last year. She had a 77 Camaro, blue with white interior, and that's it. Just a cheap little Camaro. Never saw her again. It's gone.
It's painted orange now.
Yeah. It's probably down in New Jersey. Usually they'll take a car that's very popular. Like the Camaro, Firebird, sporty type cars. And if they're really decent, really good, they'll go out of state. And if this is a pro now, I'm not talking about a kid, I'm talking about a pro. Usually out of state, and then just change the paint job a little bit. That's the thing. An insurance fraud is a nice case to work on. Usually they'll burn the car. And what happens is they'll call up and say, geez, my car just got stolen. Well, where was it parked? In my driver. Oh, yeah? What kind of car is it? 78 Oldsmobile with the great big engine and the all power, and full tank of gas that cost me $22.50. Right off the bat, saying, oh, the guy's got a gas guzzler, and it's probably costing him too much money to own. And he had some kid take it for a ride, and he's going to find it burned up in the pits someplace so we can collect the insurance money on it. When we went through the gas crunch, we also went through a rash of gas guzzles being burned. Unbelievable.
Up the res now, nothing up the res.
Where Smith Valve used to be, where Smith Valve is now, there used to be big sand pit. We used to find them in there all the time. A couple a week, you know, out of Worcester and surrounding towns. Big Cadillacs. And big Oldsmobiles and stuff like that. Really. That's one type of insurance fraud. Another type of insurance fraud is, and I give you an example of the case because that's the only way I can explain it. A guy had parked his car and he said he came out and the interior was gone. The whole interior of the car was gone. This is a true case, honestly. What had happened was, anyways, he got the money from the insurance company because it was a real expensive interior and all that, you know, the custom interior, all the goodies. So he gets the money from the insurance company, he takes the car down and he drops it out at the place that's going to put in the new interior, right? Well, it just so happens that there's an insurance investigator. And he sees the car go out of the garage, off the lot, and down the street and into the next town and into a barn. And he starts thinking about it and the thing comes out of the interior. And you really wonder now. So they call the car in to be examined. And they take the seats apart, the inside of the seats of all new cars. There's a captain's seat. And it was the same interior that he had reported stolen all the time. That's in the transfer. So he got nailed.
Is that local?
Yeah. But he didn't. We get crimes against the elderly once in a while. And the big thing, I think, is flimflam. Because the elderly are pretty easily susceptible to salesmen. A good salesman can tell you anything. And usually what they're selling is some kind of insurance policy. And older people have a tendency to fall for this. And they'll buy the product, and the people are gone. Never to be heard from them. Pocketbook thefts, not in this town, but they do happen. Can I use your bag? I just want to hold it. It's not my style.
It's heavy.
Most women walk around with a bag.
Yeah, that one is even zipped.
With an open chain.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, you don't have very much strength in these fingers, in the end of your fingers. So it's pretty easy for somebody to run by and just pull this down. So what I suggest to people is either wear it like this, or hold on.
That isn't good because it can make
Well, it's better than holding it down like
right,
this.
Right, but when you had it over your shoulder.
If you ever walked in the supermarket, Julio's or Bradley's or something, you'll always see women that put their pocketbook into the carriage and leave the carriage and walk down 3 aisles. The only pocketbook thefts we have is at that den of iniquity down on Route 9, the Red Van, where a girl will go in there with her pocketbook and leave it on the table and get up and dance with somebody. She'll come back in her pocketbook. Find it scattered around the parking lot with everything gone. There's been a lot of talk around town. People are approaching me all the time and saying, there must have been 20 rapes this summer, the way people are talking. We did have a rape this summer. One. We had one rape. It has ballooned into 20. It happened on the Grafton side of Westboro during the middle of the day and to a 12-year-old girl. That's the only rape we've had. We have had no other sexual assaults of any kind. We've had exposures. They're a different breed of people. They go around, hey, little girl, how'd you like a piece of candy? You know, that type. You've got to differentiate. You know. You have to do it all the time. You know. But just to put your mind at ease, because a lot of people have said a lot of things. And
did you catch him?
We haven't caught him yet. The girl was blindfolded.
Yeah.
And we're having a problem with her. She's scared, and she's 12 years old, and she's really not going to open up. We've gone through the pictures. I've made composite sketches for her. We've taken her to court, you know, to observe people. We have taken her to look at different cars. When we think we're getting close, she clams up. The victimology is the worst thing about you get involved in these cases and you get so that your feelings parallel that of the victim. You don't know exactly what the victim is going through, but you feel just as bad as the parents do or someone that's close to the person. This girl did not know what happened to her. I think she knows the seriousness of the whole thing. She has good days and efforts. Someday she won't go out of the house. Can't blame her. Can't blame her at all.
Well, we let you do apprehend this person after a certain investigation. What is the least that could happen to him, and what is the worst that could happen?
Chances are he's going to be put away for 10 years.
And regardless of what age he might be?
Yes.
He's a minor.
Yeah.
What if he's a minor too?
He will go away from this area. He's not a minor.
Now, is she an adult?
If you get somebody in a situation like this and they make it and they confess, no. She might not even have to go to court. Not nowadays. Things were real bad 7-8 years ago with witnesses and stuff like that. Lawyers were getting so much money to defend clients that they would do anything they could to get the client off because they were getting big bucks. So they would pull all the tricks out of the bag. You've got to bring in your witnesses, you know, this and that, everything. They put the witnesses on the stand and they torment them and go through them. Like they were the ones that committed the crime. Now it's changed completely. You get a halfway decent case nowadays, you walk in the courtroom, the DA says, what do you got? You tell him. He turns around and tells the defense counsel, and the counsel says, I'm going to plead guilty anyways. I don't have a case. The courthouse fire was a perfect example. Now, other than him being a local kid, we had so much evidence against that person that committed that crime, they pleaded guilty in Superior Court and asked for a sentence. The police didn't even testify. And we gave a probable cause hearing in the district court. Because we have to go through this court first before we go up above. The kid got 4 months. First of all, he's only 17 years old. That's the main reason.
And how many other things has he been
guilty of? As a juvenile. I personally convicted him on assault with intent to rob and assault with intent to rape.
Can that be presented?
No. Yeah, you turn 17, your record is wiped clean. It's like you never even was in court before.
So if he does something once he's passed his 17th birthday, his 18th birthday, he starts
17th.
All over again?
17th birthday, you start all over again, you're tried as an adult.
And you're passing him to court. Because you mentioned something before about this one gentleman in the court.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering why he got off so easy.
Yeah. First adult offense. He committed 5 felonies, one was a 10-year felony.
What sense is it made? I'm not arguing with you.
No,
I
know.
Speak.
I don't
what
know.
What sense
is
it
I
made?
Don't
because
know.
He'll just, once he's free past 17, he'll just keep on until they can really turn him into something good, but he's probably murdered somebody.
Well, other than murder, he's committed all the sins.
Yeah, but I mean, that boy will continue until he does something really, really. There was no other thing but to put him away for life. Yeah. Instead of helping him now.
That's what it's going to take.
It usually does.
But they're trying to help him. They are. They're trying to help him.
Oh, I'm not doubting
it. I know when he was a juvenile. His probation officer was trying to help him all the time.
But that he hasn't been able to.
Some people you're not going to reach. And the other ones that are sitting in the cooler. The town is not overridden with crime.
Let's not advertise that line anymore.
And you will see less and less from us because we do not put anything in the paper.
That's why this home watch thing, I'll help you get people to cooperate because if they hear only 2 or 3 crimes a month,
if they do, fine. Good.
Yeah, but
you know, on Sunday, I say, do you only 2 to 3 a month? Eh, it's not my fault.
Yeah, well.
Well, it doesn't have to be an organized thing, but if it's brought to make people aware of, gee, I could do that, where we would just turn to our neighbor and say, hey, I'm gonna be gone, or something like that. But some people, you have to bring it to, like, to their attention. I said, gee, well, and you organize it right among themselves. It doesn't have to be an organized thing.
So many new neighborhoods, just solid neighborhoods starting up, like Byard or, you know, some of these.
Most of our crimes that we deal with are the breaking and entering. That is our biggest crime. You know, once in a while you'll get a rape, which is a big crime. To us it is, or a burning, you know, an arson. But breaking and entering, for the most part, is what we work on. Juvenile stuff. Our kid stuff.
I'd like to invite you all to please join us for coffee and cables and blocks of afternoon. I know there are people really need it, so I
Are you, from Byard?
No.
No.
I'm very friendly with the Lombardy Block. I know the break that...
They went to a problem.
Yeah, they had a whole cycle, and it's obviously the kids breaking
in. Yeah, sure.
And they never found that stuff.
It's not...
Gates is out there.
No,
No, I could
I want to...
It was in England, too, when you didn't hold me, it was in your home business.
I use these calls.
That was in the first one.
Well, it was the school. They could only not school.
It was an extra week mother.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were...
So we have a sort of...
Well,
I'm in the downtown area, so I'm always...
I see a lot of people when they have the reunion.
Oh, yes.
Especially Louise.
Yeah.
She said Louise looked great.
Yeah. It was a break on church street.
Don't say that.
Well, I want to tell you, I want you to be aware of it, though.
During the day?
But let me tell you something. It was an inside break.
Oh, really?
There was no forced entry. And the people said they swore they locked the house when they went. Either somebody had a key.
I have all right, but I have all logs. Even on my patio, we have one of those things that go into the ground. You know, my husband drilled a hole in, and it's a key hole. Because I'm paranoid.
You should start to.
Not to me.
Don't encourage it.
No, maybe it's not in my log situation.
Yes.
We're most of us.
On Church Street.
Church Street. Mm-hmm. I'll stay. She's 1 and 2, and I'm 3. Here's the thing that the apartment was just built and they built a separate stairway in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And the 3 flights, I'm not used to running up and down 3 flights. Mm-hmm. I know, good exercise.
No,
don't look at
just tell
like
them the
that.
Problem, please.
The thing is, I'm trying to get a intercom or something that I can, when they ring the bell, like they have in apartment houses.
Yes.
When they ring the bell downstairs, I can say, ask upstairs, who is it? Unlock the door automatically so they can come up.
You can buy templates on video shots. They have the intercom system.
I know they have intercom.
Yeah.
But they're not exactly what
but I need with the lock. I found a place in Boston.
Yeah.